Blog Talk Radio.
Every author has the one story that hits close to home for them. This is Yvonne Mason's.
This book is very personal to me.
The 50s has been idealized as a time of prosperity and growth for some. Those with mental and physical challenges often faced scorn and ridicule, and were destined to be left in so-called hospitals to wither and die. Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option, is the uplifting story of a man named Stan and his family's courage to defy the odds and succeed in an era where no merit was seen in the challenged.
It is the true story of my brother who was mentally and physically challenged. It is because of my brother Stan that I am a successful author.
Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option, is available through Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com now.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and yes, indeed, that was a piece of shameless promotion. And my ad man, Christopher Dunham, created that for me, and he is absolutely right. He is the reason I am successful, because he is a dreamer, that being my brother, and he doesn't believe that dreamers are failures. And when Stanley dreams it, he believes it, and he achieves it. And he is the reason that I am not only a successful author, I'm a successful radio host, I'm a successful designer, I'm a successful photographer. I am just a successful, period. And that's not bragging. That's just statement of fact. And any one of you out there can be successful with your dreams. And it doesn't matter if the dream doesn't go all the way to fruition. The fact is that you went and attempted that dream means you're successful. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as always, I ran my numbers this morning, and just on this show, just on Blog Talk Radio and Off the Chain, you know, I said I wanted to be to 15,000 by the end of the year. Well, we're almost there. This morning, when I ran the numbers just on Blog Talk, we are at 6,223 listeners just on this show, and it's not even a year old. Now, when you add all the podcasts that I put up and all the other venues where we're listened to, which is iTunes and Stitcher and FM.com, TuneIn Radio, Podcast.com, Podomatic, Podcast Garden, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, and Spreaker, and two or three others I can't remember, we're at 13,994 listeners. We are 1,000 listeners away from the 15,000 mark, and I fully expect to get there before the anniversary date of July the 27th. We are heard in over 51 countries, and it is absolutely amazing how the show has grown and morphed into something that is bigger than me. And it's so humbling and amazing because it's my guests that make this show successful, because I would get tired of me pretty quick. My guests are entertaining, they're educational, they're fun. Some of them a little kooky, but then so am I. And it's just a plethora of people that come and honor me with an hour of their time. And tonight is no exception, ladies and gentlemen. I have to tell you, the two guests that I have tonight have just been standing on their ear waiting for tonight. It's amazing how much fun we've had putting this show together. I want to introduce actress Bree Warder and her director, David Herringer. Bree is an American actress, director, and entertainer from the Sunshine State, also known as Paradise, which is Florida. But she was born in Princeton, New Jersey, and quickly moved to Florida. She heard it was paradise. She grew up and attended school in Live Oak, which is up in North Florida, and her love for acting started at a very early age, but it didn't take off until her freshman year of high school. Bree started in the entertainment industry as a radio DJ, merged from that into theater and independent films. She has acted in many high school and college projects and plays such as Hairspray and The Great Gatsby. Now, amazing, two of my favorite films, Hairspray and The Great Gatsby. She just recently acted in a TV punk film, Viral 2, by Kaplan Bryant. Now she's pursuing a fine arts degree in film and theater through the University of Central Florida in Orlando. She has a passion for movies and plays, as well as comical fantasy, horror, and sci-fi television shows, comic books, and sports. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, not only that, this amazing young woman is a radio DJ, she does stand-up comedy, and a rock star entertainer. Now, talking about successful, she's the complete package. And then Mr. David Herringer, and I hope I pronounced his name right because y'all know how I get at night, the brain just goes to sleep. He's an American author and director. He was born on a U.S. Air Force base in Germany, but he's mostly lived in Live Oak. He's a full-time events coordinator and co-owner of Infinity Convention LLC, a comic book convention based in Lake City, Florida. And he's been in the entertainment business most of his life, starting with the music industry, eventually making his way to film with the Cosmic Vault and Infinity Convention. Now, Bree and David both are involved with the Cosmic Vault. And, yes, we will get to that, but y'all know how I am. We're not going to get to the goodies till towards the end. So if you want to hear the rest of the story, you got to stay and listen. Welcome, guys. Glad to have you with me.
Thank you for inviting me, and David.
Well, you're welcome. Bree, honey, you got to either have a lot of energy, or you drink a lot of energy drinks, or you don't sleep, or all of the above. Because I'm telling you, all of this stuff that you are involved in, have you got some extra hours in the day that I don't?
I don't do the sleep thing a lot. I can't tell you. And it's true what they say. If success doesn't come without sacrifice. And I'm not finished yet. And I really, you got to make sure whatever you want. And it's not impossible. Those who say, well, I can't do this because, you know, it's just too hard. It's too hard. No, you just have to put your mind to it. And honestly, I'm not just saying this because he's my director, and I'm not just saying, but David is one of those people who I always looked up to growing up because he did it anyway. He just did it. It didn't matter how hard it was. And he'll get into his stories, too, and you'll be like, oh, I see what you mean. And it's true. Sorry, that was my animal.
He's okay. It's live radio. Anything
really
can happen on live radio.
Yeah, you never know. But it's because you never
all
know.
Right, so tell me a little bit about Bree. Were all of these endeavors and passions something you wanted to do from the time you were a wee child and understood the written word? Was it something that morphed as you grew and started making your journey? How did all this come about?
Well, it's kind of, when I was a lot younger, long story short, when I was a lot younger, my mom and my parents, I grew up in sort of a sheltered life as a young child. As I grew older, I was not very sheltered. My mom didn't really want me to go too much into the entertainment business because she thought, well, you know, it's kind of a really risky business, so much rejection, really secular, meh, meh, meh. But, I mean, she did pass away when I was 11 or 10. And so not that I was defying her, but it wasn't until I've always loved it no matter what. I've always, at that time, I really enjoyed writing short stories or just kind of daydreaming about it. And when I was about 15 years old, there was a lady, and I hope she won't mind if I say her name, but her name was Rita Luce. And she approached me, and she ran a radio station up in Lake City, Florida. And she said, would you like to do DJ on the radio? And I was like, me? Like, I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm cool, but am I that cool? I don't know. So I did it, and I did it after school. And I ended up loving it. It was something, honestly, if you know, the entertainment, like film industry never worked out for me, I would totally go back to radio. I loved it. And it kind of blossomed from there. So it grew, to really answer your question, it kind of grew from there. I always knew I really loved film, but it grew from that. Like, I kind of took that as a stepping stone, if that really makes sense. I don't know how
the
two weren't really related, but...
It makes absolute perfect sense, because all of that is considered the arts, and one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another, and all you did was add more arrows to your quiver in the entertainment business. You got comfortable behind a microphone, so it would stand to reason the next step would be stand-up comedy and film. David, would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to see Brittany, you know, come up from, I've known her, what, probably most of your life, if not all of your life, Brittany?
I was thinking about that today, and if this question came up, it would be, let's see, about 5 or 6, whenever we moved, like, because about 20 years?
Yeah, at least.
20 years.
Yeah. So, you know, getting to see, I was telling Brie yesterday, like, it's just been really cool to see her, you know, have a dream and just chase after that passion. And you know, I, as she was saying, I'll, you know, I have definitely done similar things with my own life. So,
and I want you to tell us about that. How did you get from point A to point B? You weren't born in the entertainment business, one would think.
No.
and why is it such a passion for you?
So for me, I mean, you know, I grew up, my dad always was singing, and he was always very musical, as vocally, he was a singer, and, you know, just like at church and, things like that. And so I think I was always writing stories, and, you know, I was just always in my head, like, always loved sci-fi and video games, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we lived out in the country, so I'd always go outside and, you know, make up these crazy stories with sticks and pretend, you know, like kids do, just pretend these are guns and some, you know, writing stuff down when I was, you know, really young. And then I got more into the musical side of things. I started playing, like middle school, started playing saxophone and, you know, got in the band and was naturally kind of good at it. So I was kind of, I could play by ear. I was kind of inclined to musically doing stuff. And so once that kind of took on, the saxophone was like a thing, but it wasn't the thing I wanted to do. Like, it was kind of something that I started the music with and wanted to do something different. And I was 18, 19. My dad actually, he was a hard worker, and was very, he enjoyed music, could have gone to music school, could have done a lot with it, vocally, but chose, you know, wanted to go work and, you know, support his family, which I appreciate, but, was always just like, I think he loved work and that kind of took over his life. So when I was 18, my dad actually passed away as well. Similar story to, you know, Brittany losing her mom. And when that happened, I think that was a very pivotal part of my life where I think I just would have gone and worked hard because I know he wanted that me to do that. Like, I would have done it because he asked me to. And I was like, you know, I can do anything from here. And ended up with a band. It was a ska band, so I was playing saxophone. I was playing with them, and they needed a singer one night. And I stepped in and I hung out. And it was, you know, I mean, being a singer and being the front man was just really cool, you know. So that's where everything kind of catapulted from. I sang in this band. It was from probably 99 through like 2004, 2005 or so. And during that whole time, I spent a lot of time doing things like, I can remember sitting with the guy I co-own now, the Infinity Con, the comic book convention with, he was a bass player in the band. And him and I would sit there and I'd have these ideas about like doing videos for our, you know, our songs, our first album, you know, which was, you know, we're never going to do a video for that, but I was making videos. I just had these ideas. And so, you know, it just kind of continued, you know, with the sci-fi in my mind kind of thing, you know, that always, I was a writer, I wrote the songs lyrically and stuff. And so as that continued to progress, I got out of the band, I got married in 2006, and, you know, started kind of working and doing things, but I went back to the music. I started doing some stuff on my own solo, learned how to play guitar and started singing and working on an album. And I felt like from that point that I needed to go somewhere and do something. So like I went out on this like kind of independent tour that I went on with the band before. We went all over the country on this tour, which was very cool, with them. And I came back and I was ready just to do it. I'm like, I got to do this. This has got to mean something. You know, God's given my wife a pretty awesome job where she can support us, but I've got to be able to do more. And honestly, I started praying, and all I heard like was I needed to have fun. And I was just kind of – I'd come to like a place in my music where I'd kind of hit a wall, and I was like, well, what does that mean, have fun? So I love sci-fi, and I love comic books, and I love fantasy. So I started writing a concept album. I started writing this whole stage show. I had this whole plan of like each song was going to go into this. Like there's going to be video background that fed the story. I was going to be a character in it. There were other people on stage and be characters, like all this stuff. I probably spent about 6 months on that and wrote maybe 40,000 words of a backstory. You know, your album has to have, you know, this concept has to have a story. So this A Robot Future is what it was called. And it was this nanotechnology based kind of deal. So I started writing that, and I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. And, you know, I'm still into the music. I'm like, nope, this music's what I'm supposed to do. Like, this is the thing. And so I go to my wife and I say, you know, very supportive. She's always been really, really great for me. And I hand her this thing and I have her read it. And I'm like, you know, waiting. And she says, are you sure you're not supposed to be a writer? And I said, what are you talking about? No, I'm not. I'm supposed to be a musician. I'm supposed to be singing and doing all this stuff. And like, you know, of course, you know, I'm just kind of mad about it for a few days. And then I started thinking about it. And that was some of the most fun I'd had in a long time, with like writing this concept and writing this story. So from there, that story became about 8 books that I mapped out. I have one that I started on that I shelved because I didn't feel like it was ready. I have the beginning of a trilogy that I also put on a shelf. And then I finished up last year, I finished up a short story, just kind of a standalone, so I can learn how to work with an editor and stuff, and put that on Amazon. And so now that's where I'm at now. And last year, getting into the movies. Last year I was working on, we did a Scare House, and I got to write the script and everything, and I got to direct it, you know, the Scare House, and we did a few short videos, just some like almost like Blair Witch, you know, shaky cam kind of stuff, found footage. It was kind of rushed. It was kind of a last minute thing that I'd planned and written and directed, but I got this it was just such a cool thing being able to do it and like see that kind of come to life. And so, once I got the chance to do that, and then Bree came to me and said, hey, I've been thinking about you doing this. It just, I don't know, it just kind of clicked. So here I am.
So that's how the two of y'all started collaborating, was she came to you and said she knew you could do this, and it was time y'all got together and did it together.
Right.
Yes. Pretty much,
Bree,
yeah.
What was the see, I can't talk tonight. It's been one of those days. Y'all just bear with me a minute. I'll get my tongue untwisted. My listeners know this about me. It's one of my flaws. Was the Cosmic Vault born out of the collaboration with you and David, or had you already started the Cosmic Vault? And what is the Cosmic Vault?
I had already started the Cosmic Vault, and I had started it.
Yeah.
I wanted to start an independent film, I guess, a studio of my own, and I wanted to see it grow. as an actor, you always want to have a backup. Let's face it, the entertainment industry, one minute you could be hot, the next minute you're not. That's just part of it. And I wanted to have something in the background to work on, you know, something other than just me. So that's how I started with that. It was actually, ironically enough, it was also David who helped me kind of figure out the name. I had another similar name, and I was reaching out to a few people that I trust, and David was like, oh, what about the word cosmic? And I was like, oh, that's why this guy, he knows stuff. So, maybe 6 months to a year prior to that, maybe. I don't know. I could be off on that timeline. But it was well before I had even – I was still writing the script at the time. I hadn't even thought about choosing a director yet. So, but which I just thought it was funny. That's just kind of a little Easter egg for that. So
yeah.
I thought that was kind of ironic.
I forgot about that.
yeah. So, but it didn't – I had gone through quite a few – directors, I guess. Quite a few had either approached me or I had talked to them, and it just didn't click. It didn't work out. And I kept circling around to David, and I thought, well, he's really busy. To run a convention, I know this is off topic. I mean, if those of you who don't know, that is a very, very difficult job. I don't care how big or small it is. It's hard. It's not easy. And it is year-round job work. So for me and anybody who knows, not just to run a convention, but to direct a movie is even more difficult. So I felt for the longest time hesitant to ask, like, man, so I'm going to ask this guy to direct a movie, and he's going to be like, well, sure, but, you know, anxiety and heart attacks, I'm just saying. So, you know, it was hard for a while. But finally, I actually had discussed, I say our mom because she's like my mom. I'm that close to her.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm sure he'd do it. It's fine. I'm like, again, I don't know. You know, the whole anxiety. So finally I did.
But
I'm really glad I did.
I have this thing, Bree, and the thing is, because like you, I used to be hesitant about asking people things that I wasn't sure about the answer to. And then one day it dawned on me, well, you dumbass, you don't know, you will never know the answer if you don't ask the question. What's the worst they can say? No? Okay, then you have an answer.
Yeah.
Very true.
I'm an asker,
David,
for sure.
when she asked you to do this, on top of running the convention and like, Bree said, that's a headache within itself because to me it's like herding cats. You can't ever get them all in the same space at the same time. It's impossible.
Right, right.
When Bree came to you and said, oh, by the way, David, you want to add another arrow in your quiver, you want to direct this film, what was your immediate reaction?
Well, fortunately, as she said, our mom you know, she's mom. She's not going to keep things quiet. Had already given me some heads up.
Mom's just
told
on
you
if you're listening.
Yeah. You know mom. So she was like, well, she's, you know, she's not sure about asking you what we think. So I'd had a week or so before she, you know, came to me and said something to think about it. And really, you know, the running the convention is a lot. Generally it takes me, you know, 8 months to a year of planning. I'm planning 2018 now, you know, and beside all the writing and beside, you know, all the other things I'm doing. But after doing it, it was pretty much after we had done the Scare House last year. And I was kind of having this, I was jonesing to really get a chance to have a director possibility where I got to work on it. Like it wasn't kind of last minute. It was like, we planned it. It was like, people had scripts way in advance. Like it, you know, there was just a lot more time and effort put into it where I wasn't able to do this for the Scare House. It was very quick. And so, you know, when she said it, I was just like, you know, yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, I had to make sure there were some things like, okay, well, time-wise, like these are things I can and can't do, you know, but other than that, like I'm, I'm kind of nervously excited about it. Like, I, you know, I just want to make it good for her. So yeah.
Well, and the beauty of this is you all have an advantage that a large number of young directors and producers do not, is in that you all have a history together. Y'all have known each other all of your lives, so you're not walking onto a set with strangers going, okay, is this director going to be a prima donna? Am I going to have to throw a fit? How's this going to work? Because y'all already know each other, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. He already knows I'm going to do that.
It's kind of funny. I was like, man, I know he thinks like conventions are hard, but have you dealt with actors? I mean, we're just so dramatic. I mean, all the time.
You actors.
That's why you're called actors. Never know when you're real and when you're not. Now, you have two movies in the can. One has a name, one doesn't. Are those going to be coming out anytime soon? Are they going to sit there until this one is done? How are y'all going to handle that?
Right now, I want those two to kind of sit there. I want to really focus on this one first. I don't want to get ahead of myself right now. This is going to be our first one. Slowly but surely, that one's going to kind of creep out. It will. I'm not going to wait, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line. But it will come out. It might be 2018 before you see it or hear from it, because I want to make sure we promote the Dybbuk appropriately. But it will come out, and you will see it. But it might be 2018. And then the other one, depending on how it just kind of depends on how it goes. I never want to rush something. I mean, if we were Spielberg, it might be a little different. But for this, I want to take my time.
And I appreciate that, because it's like writing a book. You have to make sure that all the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, the edits are done, and it's pretty, and you're ready to let that baby go. David, would that be a fair assessment?
Right. Well, and I feel like, you know, as in the space we're in now, we have the ability to take our time. Like, that's kind of a luxury we get to take advantage of right now. We're like she said, if we had a studio breathing down our neck and saying, like, okay, hey, we got a studio, that's really cool, but you need to have this done by this date. Everything's got to be ready to go through there. I don't, you know, all these things that you kind of got to stand behind, you know, that would be crazy to do for your first kind of outing, you know. That would be like, you know, Yvonne, you having a book and it was just like, okay, it's your first one, have it done. You know, you got this deadline and you got to have it done right now.
And see, that's the beauty of being independent. This is why when someone comes to me with a project, whether it's a book or whether it's film or whether it's music, and they say, well, what do you think? My first thing to them is, do not go traditional. Go independent, because we have these luxuries. We can take our time.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all can get the scenes you want, the emotions you want, the actors you want, the storyline you want, and make something unique to you so it doesn't look like everything else that's out there on the screen.
Right.
Let's talk about this film. It's called the you're going to have to pronounce it because, again, I just went brain stupid.
The Dybbuk.
It's called the Dybbuk.
Yeah.
And give a little bit of synopsis before we talk about something else about it. What is it about?
Okay. So the actual synopsis, I'll kind of – go ahead.
You got this? I think you got it.
Sorry. It's kind of hard. Like, these radio interviews, like, we're not here, so we can't see each other, so we're all just, like, talking.
Don't worry. It's okay.
After the suicide of her mother, a young psychiatrist in search of closure gets more than she bargains for while settling her parents' estate affairs in their newly bought yet haunted home. They didn't realize that at the time. It's out in the country, and when these spirits kind of come to life in the house, it's kind of her psyche that she starts battling for this time. So it's like a very psychological thriller, and that's what I like about it. It's not just going to be jump scares, but it's going to mess with your psyche. So I don't know if that's a lot of what you're talking about, or if that's,
yes, that's
if you want
perfect.
More.
Well, I don't want more because there's a reason I don't want more. Number one,
good.
Where is it being filmed?
Oh, well, it's actually being filmed in Orlando.
Florida. Yeah, Orlando.
Yeah.
Is there someone here in Lake Sea Breeze, potentially?
I think there's a, there might be one or two places. I'm in talks with two libraries up in that area because I know people. So there's a couple of places in Florida that it may be filmed. So, yes, to answer your
okay.
question, the state of Florida.
Of course. And the reason I ask that is because, ladies and gentlemen, are y'all ready for this? This is a perfect opportunity, a perfect opportunity for any up-and-coming actors who wish to make a start. These guys are doing a casting call. I'm going to let either David or Bree explain the who, what, when, where, and how of the casting call. So who wants to take it?
David's got this.
Go ahead on that, Bree. Oh, I got.
Okay,
oh, yeah. I got that.
Okay, I got this. Or not.
Yeah. We're doing a casting call. You know, one of the things, again, me being a, you know, we're from a smaller area. We just kind of went out and did stuff, but so many people in our area, you know, they're waiting for their big break in Nashville or, you know, California or New York or something like that, and. One of the biggest things is me and the partner, you know, Ray Hancock, my partner for the InfinityCon we do is, you know, we went and toured the nation. I mean, it wasn't this big, huge tour, but like we did it from Lake City. So we want to see up and coming actors, you know, Bree and I that are people that have been working hard. They've been aspiring to do this. You know, maybe they were radio DJ hosts. Maybe they've been writing, whatever. You know, and we want to see them be able to branch out and really come into their own on this. So we encourage, there's going to be, Bree, there's going to be several places we're going to be doing auditions, correct?
Yes, yes. And whenever you submit your information, if you go online, if you check out the flyer that Miss Yvonne has posted online, if you're listening, definitely visit when you message us, when you visit the Facebook page. It will have all the instructions of what you need to send us, and we will send you instructions accordingly from there because it's based on your city, kind of where you are.
Now,
right.
Let me ask you this.
Right.
We have a college here. It's called Indian River State College, and they have a program, and these kids are really big into doing theater productions in the school. Would it be viable if y'all approached the college and said, this is what we're doing, we're having a casting call, would it be all right if we ask the kids in your theater production if anyone's interested in auditioning?
Actually, yes,
yeah.
I have done that. I've spoken with University of Central Florida, and I'm going to be speaking with Valencia College in Orlando and Lake City Community as well. And any other colleges, if you
right.
have recommendations, by all means, send them my way.
Contact Indian River
right.
State College. My contact, who is my daughter-in-law, and her name
oh.
is Sherry Sewell, and she is the secretary to one of the deans. So if y'all either call and get her mailing information or call her, she can put you in touch with who you need to talk to these kids.
That would be wonderful.
Very cool.
See how well this works out? I just love it. Now, just in a sort of a capsule, if someone's listening that's going, oh, tell me more. I know I need to go to the page and get all the instructions, But could one of y'all give any prospective listeners that are interested a little bit of what they, how they need to qualify, what they need to qualify, what y'all are looking for?
Sure.
So, go ahead, Bree.
No, you got this.
Okay. So, you know, looking for those of you who know, this is pretty standard, I think, but, you know, a headshot, you know, we want to see what you look like. We would love to have some form of, you know, seeing you do some videos, whether it's a demo reel, whether you do something, you know, for those of you that may be aspiring and wanting to work towards this, you know, take some footage, get a friend to take some footage with their phone of you reading some lines, doing some acting, some different things. You know, that would be what we're looking for on that end. You know, this is a smaller cast movie. This is not going to be, you know, there's not going to be 25 different roles. But we are looking for, you know, a good handful of great up and coming actors to be a part of this. So
would they have to have prior experience like in theater or independent movie parts?
It would be nice, but it's not required. We're you know, if somebody has the chops, we're not, you know, and they fit the role as I'm working on the script, and, you know, and Bree and I are kind of hashing through the different characters and their personalities. You know, if somebody just has that thing we're looking for, you know, I mean, they don't need all that. We'll work with them to get to that point. So,
well, Bree, let me ask you this: as with any piece of film, there's more to the film than just the actors. You need gripes, you need light people, you need script people, you need costume people, you need line people. Are y'all looking for those as well?
Yes, absolutely. Anybody who's willing to volunteer their time would be fantastic. If you want to take this as an opportunity, believe me, David and I both know people, and not just like maybe in different aspects or areas, but yes, I strongly encourage you. Don't look at the people automatically think, well, in order for me to go somewhere in this kind of business, I have to start in a big city and I have to get a big gig and I have to get a big, like, no, you know, you got to start small sometimes, okay? Not everybody is born into the business, and that's just the reality of it. You can accept that or they cannot. And you know what? That's why if you don't, then the reality is, well, you might not get very far, and that's very harsh, but it's true. But I definitely, and I implore you, I encourage you to take a step. You just learn, and you never know how far your knowledge may take you. Just saying.
And when you think about it, some of the best films that have come out in recent years, and I've watched movies for years, and some of the best films that came out that wound up being winners were sleepers by independent film companies that nobody even knew of, that created this piece of artwork on little or no money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, yeah.
who's to say that this film won't wind up at the Cannes Film Festival and explodes on the screen, and you've got all these wonderful people that y'all have helped come along, and then all of a sudden, whammo, doors are opened. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember what I said at the beginning of the show about dreamers and dreams? Well, Bree and David are dreamers, and they're willing.
We got lots of that.
Exactly. And they're willing to help you realize your dream, whether it's as you know, on the backside of the film, an editor, a production crew, set production, whatever it is that you're interested in, this is a perfect opportunity to get in on the ground floor, because I'm going to tell you, these two people are going to go places. And if you say, well, maybe tomorrow, no, tomorrow you might get hit by a bus, then what are you going to do? Right, David?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, y'all need to contact these two people and get in on this film, because opportunity rarely knocks more than one time. And it's a small production, it's volunteer work, but great things have come out of people that started off as volunteers. And just for the love of being able to perform, I know if my sister were still alive, she'd be saying, sign me up.
Yeah.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, when you give your time to something and volunteer, you know, I mean, that's honestly how I got into doing this, you know, running a convention. You know, there's so much that goes in the back end of this. You know, it's logistics of who needs to be where and working with the talent and working with the vendors and the artists. And, you know, and the reason I know all these things and, you know, loading in and loading out and all that is because I went and helped people do it, you know, and I was the guy moving boxes and I would overhear them, you know, I'm moving this over here and why are you doing that? And, you know, I folded papers for 4 hours, you know, it's like all these things that I was doing to get to where I was like, oh, this is why we do this, you know?
And another thing, I was just sitting here thinking as you were talking, it was like an apprenticeship for you. So let's say,
right,
little Susie wants to be a designer. Little Susie has all these designs in her head. And she comes and says, okay, I would like to be your costumer for this film. Tell me the concept of the film, the time period, the age of the main characters, the age of the other characters. And she starts designing the costumes. Well, it's like a well-written book. Those costumes make that story and those characters three-dimensional.
Right.
Yes, they do.
Right, right. Well, I think about it.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think about, you know, I don't know how much you know about comic book conventions, but there's cosplayers, which are costumers that make these elaborate costumes that, I mean, they're sewing and they're making, you know, foam look like metal. And, I mean, it's just, it's crazy, crazy cool. You know, they look like these comic book characters and these anime characters. And, you know, they are some perfect, if you're a costumer or cosplayer out there, like, this would be the perfect thing to come in and work on some of that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
because,
definitely.
Because they are artists in their own rights, and if we give them a concept and say, go make this happen, what they come back with makes that scene pop. Gone with the Wind comes to mind. Margaret Mitchell's Gone with the Wind, because the one scene that has always stood out in that film for me was when Scarlett made the dress out of the green curtains. And
okay, yeah.
That costumer had to have a vision of huge proportions to be able to make that costume the way that it was described in the book to a T.
Right. Right.
And I think the point is if you have a costumer that has a vision, the characters in the film will just come alive. And so if there's someone out there, ladies, and same with lighting, there's some of you out there that have this vision, again, get hold of these two people. I cannot reiterate that enough. This is your opportunity to shine. Bree, would that be a fair statement?
It would definitely be a fair statement.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the age of your main character, she's what, 20, 25, I'm assuming, maybe I'm wrong?
Yeah, roughly between 25 and 30, I guess. Obviously, she's older. She's got a career. Well, she's not, like, too much older. But, yeah, she's definitely involved in her work as well. So old enough to not have any fun.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
makes any sense.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. I remember those days.
Yeah, Yeah, her work pretty much takes up her life. So.
So if someone came to you that had never acted before, but they were totally absorbed in their passion of acting, and they could project this young woman, professional young woman, who works all the time and never has any fun, and saw, I'm seeing her as very serious-minded, and then she goes to this house and these things start happening. If someone who'd never acted could project those different emotions, it would be easy for you to say, yeah, come on down for an audition, right?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Yes. The short answer is definitely yes. However, I have seen people, and I've told David this before, I've told people many things. I have seen people act supposedly their whole lives, and personally, although this is going to sound harsh, I wasn't impressed. I've seen people come off of the street, never acted a day in their life, and knocked my socks off. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes.
That's what I was looking for. That's where I was hoping you would go with that answer, because sometimes people who have the desire are a little bit intimidated because, oh, here's this big director and here's this woman and the co-director and they're saying all these things. I don't know. But it's a matter of knocking your socks off. It's because y'all look beyond what they put on paper.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And you know, and on the same end, you know, and this is not to be discouraging, but encouraging, you know, there may be somebody that comes to us and they try out and they're just not a fit, whether they're good enough or it's just not a fit for the roles we have. And maybe they do want to come alongside and be a grip or be a side, you know, be some other part of the show. We, you know, that's a great way to learn. It's a great way to be around it. It's a great way to get your foot in the door and start working on those things.
And I'm glad you brought that up,
because when something comes up later, you'll think about it.
Because they weren't a fit for that particular project doesn't mean they won't be a fit later. And so they need to hang around. They need to do, as I say, the grunt work in order to get, A, more experience like you did at the convention, and B, to get comfortable with you two.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
When do y'all want to start filming?
June of this year.
Yeah, summer. Summer is when we're looking at.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if y'all are interested in this project, this is April the 20th. It would be in your best interest to get on the stick and contact Bree and David, because June will be here before you turn around good. And not going to rush it. They're going to take their time and make this a over the top movie. I for one can't wait. I want to see, since I've got all the little intel, I'm ready to see the movie. So yeah, y'all have to get it done.
Oh yeah.
So after this one, I know you've probably got a couple of more that you want to do, Bree.
Mhm.
Do you want to give us a hint, or are you going to hold that one close until our next conversation?
The next movie.
Yeah,
for now, yeah. Because I'm still working on that one a little bit much, and there's actually, like I said, there's two in there, so that one's going to stay a secret, guys, so.
But there is one.
All right.
So, go ahead, David.
Yes.
Bree, I have a quick question. On the website, the casting call for the Dybbuk, it shows the Facebook page and Cosmic Bolt. Do we have an email address, or are we going to have them email us from the website?
I am setting that up right now. I'm about to, I might be switching sites soon as far as the actual, like, not the domain, but the actual, what I use, in other words, to get an actual, like, site email. Kind of long story short. So, in other words, for now, just send your inquiries to the Cosmic Vault's messages page. You guys can message us directly there. And you can also just send an email to thecosmicvault@gmail.com. You can do that as well. But it's at this point, it might be just much easier for you to send an email or just send a message to the Cosmic Vault's messages on Facebook. I know almost everybody has a Facebook. If you don't have a Facebook, you can thecosmicvault@gmail.com. It's that easy. One or the other, we will get them.
And you are, it is an open casting call now. They don't have to wait till next week or tomorrow. They could go in tonight even and send you the information, correct?
That
yes.
is true.
Yes, they can. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, David.
No, it's
sorry.
Go ahead, Bree.
Yeah, so what I was going to say was, and the reason why we're doing this is because it's a lot easier. We want to know how many people are interested in where, like I said, because we're filming in different areas, Tampa, Orlando, League City. We want to know how many people are interested, or anywhere in between, okay? It could be, it doesn't have to be those three places. So we want to know how many people are interested where, so that if we want to come see you, it's a lot easier to schedule a certain day in a city and have everybody meet that day that can, rather than scheduling 50 for 50 different, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
that makes
it right.
helps us narrow down the schedule.
So
yeah.
You,
so the sooner you put, you know, sooner you put your information in, the better. It helps us kind of decide that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what they're telling you is if you live in my area, which is Port St. Lucie, St. Lucie County, go ahead and send in your information, because if there's 12 others of you in the St. Lucie County area, they can set up a day for all of y'all to come in and do your auditions without doing one of you today and one of you next week and one of you 3 weeks down the road. They get it all done at once. That's the professional way to do it.
Right.
So get your, and you can't go now. You got to wait till after the show. Go over there to their page and look what you need to do, and then contact Bree at thecosmicvault@gmail.com or on the Cosmic Vault Facebook page. And also, when you go over there and leave them a message, like their page. I mean, it's kind of rude to leave a message and not like the page. It's like, I don't know, inviting somebody to dinner and not being there. It's just rude. So like their page, and that way you can keep up with what's going on. Would that be a correct statement,
yeah.
David?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, y'all are not going to believe
definitely.
This.
Go like the page.
Yes. Y'all aren't going to believe this, but our hour is almost up.
So close.
I'm flying.
Yeah, I told you the hour absolutely flies by. And I want to thank both of you so very much for spending an hour with me. I know Bree has just been so excited, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking back and forth, and you were the second one in this two-week period that has breathed new life into what I do to me personally, because after you do this for a while, you know, you've got a radio show, you're up for it, but you and Romarian and Demetria, just, it's like it's brand new all over again for me, and I thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well,
and thank you so much.
David, she did. She and I have been talking back and forth for a couple of days now, and it's exciting again. Not that it wasn't before, but it's like opening a new toy on Christmas. I'm going, yeah, that I am doing something good here. It's not, I'm not just being a narcissistic egomaniac here. people
I got
do like this. So I appreciate that so much. Now, in about a minute and a half, I need for each of you to tell our dreamers out there how to make their dream real. And Bree, I'm kind of old-fashioned, so ladies get to go first. How would you tell someone? How would you tell someone to help make their dream real?
Long story short, make sure you just got to sacrifice your time. It's going to take a lot of sacrificing of sleep. It's going to take a lot of sacrificing of free time. Sit down, plan it out, and do it. Don't rely on other people to help you. Eventually, you'll find the right people. My life right now is a perfect example of that. And eventually, you got to do it on your own. You got to do
it. Exactly. David, how would you help someone?
Yeah, you've got to, you know, like Bree said, you have to choose to do it. I mean, a lot of people talk about, oh, I want to do this or I want to do that, and I have this dream, but they're waiting for somebody else to do it. And they just want to go along behind them. I mean, it's hard to be the man. You want to be the man behind the man, but the man is hard to be. And, I would encourage them to take and just chase after it. And as Bree said, I mean, you've got to work for it. You've got to put the time in. I've been writing for years, start writing now. You may not be good now. You're not probably going to be, you got to get better, So take your time, put the time in and don't stop. If you really believe in what you're working for and what you're doing, you got to have fun with it, and if don't do it because you want to get famous, do it because you love doing it.
Amen. And what I say, what I've been, my mantra around here, I have two of them. One is your smile is your logo, your personality is your business card. How you leave others feeling after having an experience with you becomes your trademark. And that is a very true statement, ladies and gentlemen. And remember, I also say this. If you want to achieve greatness, stop asking permission. You do not need anyone's permission. It's like David said, just do it. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, Sherry Rentsler will be with me again, and she'll be reading some of her poetry for us. It's always fun when she's with me. And then on Saturday night at 8 o'clock, J.P. Coward will be visiting with us. So, if it's 8 o'clock on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night where you're supposed to be, right here on Off the Chain with me. And David and Bree, again, thank you both so very, very much because
you're welcome.
Y'all make me smile.
Thank you so much.
And I love it because you're passionate, you're successful, you're dreamers, and I see great things for the two of you.
Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, y'all are coming back, right? When you get ready to release the film, you have to come back and we'll do a launch party. So keep me in the loop. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it first here. So if you want to know when the film's coming out, you got to pay attention.
Yep.
We are down a minute. Y'all don't hang up after the show goes offline because I have some instructions for you. But ladies and gentlemen, remember this. And you know what I'm going to say because I say it at the end of the show. At the end of your life, don't be that person. And you know what I'm talking about. Don't be that person that has regrets. Live your life, live your dreams, and don't let anyone else steal them. They're your dreams, and they don't have your permission. And if you have children, and your children have a dream, I can't speak, be sure and support that child. Never tell that child that it's not smart enough, that it's not bright enough, and that it cannot do it. If you want to tear a child down, that's the best way to do it. It doesn't matter what the dream is. Tell that child it can do it and give it all the tools it needs to make that dream happen. So I'll leave you with that thought. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, author Sherry Rentsler. Saturday night at 8 o'clock, J.P. Coward, join us here on Off the Chain with me, your host, Yvonne Mason. And if you've got a book, a music, piece of artwork, a business, a platform, or you just want to talk, contact me. I would love to have you on the show. And with that, we say good evening until tomorrow night. Okay, we're off the air now. So what I wanted to tell y'all is when we get off,
yeah,
the show is going to go up into archives. And as soon as it archives, and David, if you're not on my Facebook page, I need you to friend me so that I can tag both
okay
of y'all for the show.
Okay.
And then tomorrow I will put it up in the 5 podcast I was talking about earlier. And when I put it up, I'll also tag y'all and take this and use it as one of your advertising tools for your casting and whatever you need it for. This is my gift to you.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yes, definitely.
You can download it. You can put it on your website. Send it out to your network because, I mean, 51 countries, who knows? We might get somebody from England going, oh, I think I'll go to Florida and get a casting call. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Never know.
Stranger things have happened. So I will again say gracious thank you to you both. It's been a blast. I've enjoyed every minute of it, and I am very humbled and honored that y'all have spent an hour with me.
Yeah, thanks.
And
it was great. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited for y'all. I can't wait to see where this movie goes. I can't wait to see where the two
Thank
of you,
you
go and your successes. So staying in contact with me. Let me know how the casting call goes, how the movie is progressing, and then as you get towards ready to release it, we'll do a launch party here on the show and let everybody know.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you very
okay
much, Miss Yvonne. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
Yeah, thank you, Yvonne.
You're welcome, David, and y'all stay in touch. I'm telling you, I'm excited for y'all. I see great things. They're coming.
Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.